More questions. I actually was going to title this five questions, but I didn't think I could get through five, so I'm titling it four. It's like the eight pieces of pizza versus six, right? Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, and that's the source of these questions. Ecclesiastes 6, 10 to 12. What was has already been called by name and is known, as he is man and cannot deal with one more powerful than he. For there are many words that increase mere breath. What is advantage for man? For who knows what is good for man in life in his days of mere breath? For he spends them like a shadow. For who can tell man what will be after him under the sun? Now, if you looked up this verse and these questions in commentary, most of the commentaries you would see, most of the commentators would say, the most popular responses, these are questions without answers. I don't know any Bible student in the world that is satisfied with that kind of a question or that kind of a comment. We want the answers. And, of course, God has provided them for us if we really look for them. If we can understand these questions, which I hope we can do, it will help us in our relationship with God and developing the contentment we need in that relationship without ever being satisfied. Contentment without satisfaction is what we must strive for in our Christian walk. So let's examine Solomon's four questions. Might summarize the first one this way. Since God has already determined what is to be, why reason on God's will for us? Now, when he starts this out by saying, to call something by name, notice what he says. Everything has been called by name. In biblical Hebrew, names, you know, were very important. And the name stood for something, and it really summarized the character and the nature of the being that was there. Think of the names of people that you know. Well, it is true. God is mightier, and he can accomplish what he needs to accomplish without us. He doesn't really need us. But God has fixed, yes, he has fixed what he will accomplish. And the question begs whether there's anything we can actually control and participate in. Well, the answer is yes. What do we control? We control our personal choices. We are free to evaluate and choose what our personal world will be. But we cannot control the consequences of those personal choices. Some are good, some are very bad. My daughter Rachel rides the train to work to Newark, New Jersey, and once in a while the train gets stopped for several hours. And the reason it gets stopped for several hours is someone has decided to step in front of that moving train. Okay. Well, you can step in front of a train at 120 miles per hour. You're free to choose that. But once you commit to that, there's no altering the consequences. That's why, brethren, everything we do deserves prayer and careful consideration. Even though God has fixed the principles. Job understood that. Job, remember in his struggles, discovered that principle when he argued with God in chapter 42, verses 3 and 6. His conclusion, who is this obscuring counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I told, but did not understand. Wonders beyond me that I did not know. Therefore, do I recant, and I repent in dust and ashes. Brethren, our personal choices do matter. They can make a huge difference in how our lives turn. If God wanted to make our lives really difficult, what would he do? He'd give us absolute freedom. There are boundaries that God sets for us as well as for man. I remember when the first, back in 1969, some of you remember the first moon landing? Okay, I remember someone in our class, I was in a class in Michigan at the time, said, "Man will never land on the moon. The day he lands on the moon, I will stop reading my Bible." Well, my mother, I love my mother, good old Polish lady. And she came up to that sister after that happened. She says, "Are you going to stop reading your Bible?" She said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "Well, you said that if man ever landed on the moon, you'd stop reading your Bible." Brother, the point is, we think about boundaries. We don't really know what the boundaries are. But God has fixed those boundaries in our life as well as the lives for man. Why is that important? Because Job knew. Job understood, and speaking of movies, in the movie Magnum Force, Clint Eastwood, who was one of my favorite actors, said, "A man's got to know his limitations." Brethren, we have to know that. One of our limitations is that we do not have the wisdom to either outthink or outtalk God. And we must understand that limitation. So when we can accept that God overrules our things and recognize that as a limitation, that he sees fit to overrule in any situations in our life, we develop our contentment in God and understand Paul's statement, Romans 8:28, a favorite Bible student scripture. All things work together. And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. That this means not today, but over the long run. Some things happen, they're not good, but over the long run, God's wisdom outweighs. The second question, and New International Version reads, verse 11 reads, "The more the words, the less the meaning." And how does that profit anyone? I don't really even have to comment on this probably. If ever this verse applied, it applies today beyond any place else. Listen to the convoluted political, economic, social rhetoric of our day. Everything gets analyzed. The analysis gets analyzed. And then the discussion on all the analysis gets analyzed. The problem never gets solved. God's truth, on the other hand, is very simple. The simple statement he makes in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." So, brethren, maybe 10-minute discourses should be the rule rather than the exception. Okay. For us, what does it mean? Don't spend endless hours of your life with the scenarios of what if and what. Move on, brethren. Faith means giving up all hope of a different past. Question number 3. Appears in verse 12 with the simple words, "Who knows what is good for man?" Well, Solomon had said, remember in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Human history proves that without the knowledge of God, man really struggles and is deceived and just drifts on a sea of human speculation. You know, most preachers couldn't even explain 9/11 and the permission of evil. Even the great Billy Graham said, "I don't know why God did this or permitted it." Yet that simple doctrine of the permission of evil, with that we understand that God is overseeing the affairs of man for his greatest benefit. Without that understanding of truth, without that revelation, life for most is just vain or the pursuit of pleasure. no purpose. Man struggles today to add a day, a year to his life, because there's no future beyond death. John predicts, however, man's future in 1 John 2:17, he who does the will of God abides forever. Brethren, that's a simple statement of man's destiny, which one day he will understand, which we understand today. Question number four. Might be paraphrased from verse 12 this way. Does anybody know what is coming next? Now, I'm not talking about our petty daily issues, or I like to use Bob Brand, since we've mentioned San Diego, Bob's favorite expression. You want to know what that is? That's a first world problem. Right? My computer went down. Oh, what am I going to do? It's a first world problem. He's not talking about those issues, but the major purpose of God working out his plan on earth. You look at the scenarios that are proposed and the big questions that are facing man. And you can mention in any area, social, political, economic, environmental. And everyone speculates on it. Well, read a book called Future Babel. Or look at Philip Tetlock's landmark study, tracking 20 years of expert predictions, and you'll see his conclusion was a room full of monkeys could have made a better choice. God doesn't give us the details, brethren, to see everything in its entirety. He gives us what we do have, enough to keep us encouraged and looking ahead, and the information we have is to make the best use of our time with it. Every one of us gets one thing and one thing only. We all get 24 hours a day, no more, no less. What we do with it is our choice. So in conclusion, brother, life is God's gift, and he wants us to spend it under his care. Our faith prepares us for an eternal relationship with him. If there was no kingdom and no grand purpose, nothing matters at the moment. That's man's predicament. No pleasure or excitement should be ever denied if that's our attitude. But we are the faith class. We cannot drift into that mindset. Life's experiences for us are meant to have a meaning, fashioning us to a highly honed new creature. When Michelangelo was sculpting a statue, someone came to him and said, "What are you making in that big block of granite?" He said, "I'm trying to release the angel that's inside." Brethren, my last question to you, are you willing to allow God to release the new creature that's inside of you?